All right, y'all. So it's time for another episode and the last episode of the year 2018 of Raging Black Girl, the podcast. Let's get into it. Follow along with Raging Black Girl, the podcast on Twitter and Instagram using the hashtag Raging Black Girl, spelled R-A-G-I-N-G-B-L-A-C-K-G-I-R-L. I can't wait to see your posts, and I'd love to talk to you about some of the things that I talk about on this episode and any other episode or anything else. Can't wait to see your posts. Hit me up. Welcome back. So it is the last episode before the year 2019, if that sentence even made sense. But yeah, so we're just going to go ahead and jump right in like we always do into all the rage, where I talk about all the stuff that happened in pop culture and on social media and all kinds of shit. So a lot of stuff has happened in the past 2 weeks, and I don't remember vividly, which means it probably wasn't that important to me. But I'm going to cover it anyway because it's here in my notes, like everything that's always in my notes. So, first thing that I have in my notes, Kanye went on a manic tweet rampage again, as he has in the past. Thinking about the word choice I just used, but I don't even think it was a Twitter thread. I really don't know because I have him blocked, so I don't see any of his tweets and for that purpose, but everybody was talking about it. And he was talking about, you know what, whatever he was talking about, I don't really care, but I do want to talk about the mental health piece that he was tweeting about. I'm sick of saying talking about multiple times, but he was tweeting about mental health and, low-key weaponizing it, or like using it as like an excuse or something for people to like blame or whatever. I don't know. And then it got messy. I mean, it was messy to begin with. But Ariana Grande, she was dropping a song, and I guess Miley Cyrus was dropping a song. Haven't listened to either of them. Don't really want to listen to either of them. Excuse me. Your girl's tired. But, she tweeted, like, oh, I know two grown men are arguing on Twitter right now, but let's be positive, and something about her and Miley Cyrus dropping songs or whatever. And Kanye brought that up on Twitter, and he was like, yeah, I know you were doing it to be cool or funny or whatever, but, like, it wasn't, so mind your business kind of thing. And then she goes on like this big apology thing, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean for it to be like that kind of thing. And then Pete Davidson jumped on and said that he didn't want to live anymore. I mean, his words weren't exactly, I want to kill myself, but definitely hinting at or suggesting that he is having some serious suicidal ideation going on. And so everybody jumps to his rescue. And even Ariana Grande, she goes to, I guess he was at SNL. Was it a Saturday? Don't know. But whatever, she went to wherever he was, and he wouldn't let her in. And now she's, like, being blamed for his, for the latest suicidal ideation, I guess. And I say latest because I've heard of him talking about how he has dealt with suicidal ideation and suicidal thoughts or whatever in the past, and how, like, Kid Cudi, like, saved his life. Like, a lot of people who are basically under the age of, like, 25, with his music and everything. So, that's why I use the word latest. But it was just a lot. And speaking of Kid Cudi, he just was on Red Table Talk with, all of this is, like, really connecting, and it's really wild. Like, But he was on Red Table Talk with Jada and her mom and Willow. And I watched the episode because I'm a Kid Cudi fan. And it was really good, you know, talking about his mental health issues and what was going on and how he went and got help and how things progressed and everything. And there's somebody that works on the show, so a young black guy who, like, heavily impacted Kid Cudi's life, so much so that he got his lyrics tattooed on his arm. So it was a really good episode, and just really interesting how, like, Kanye, who is, like, basically best friends and brothers with Kid Cudi, went on this tweet rampage, and then Pete Davidson pops up, who says Kid Cudi saved his life with suicidal ideation posts on social media, and just, like, how that connection works. But then everybody chimes in. Nicki Minaj chimes in talking about mental health and how She brought up Mac Miller and how we did the same thing to Mac Miller, how we don't care until people are gone. And it's kind of like, girl, first of all, you're on the hot seat because you're dating a sex offender and someone who has, like, murder charges or whatever. And you're, like, double downing on it when people are bringing it up to you and you're making light and jokes about it. But then you want to jump into this and make false claims that people didn't care about Mac Miller. Mac Miller is the one white male rapper that everybody was like, yeah, he's a good one. He was really sweet. I went to his concert, and it wasn't even his concert. It was a Wiz Khalifa concert, and he opened for Wiz. And this isn't like 2011 or 10 or some shit like that. It's 2010. It was 2010, I remember. And we were just sitting around. It was me and my friends, and it was after the concert. We were just waiting around or whatever. And Mac and his people come out, and he was mad cool and mad nice and mad sweet. Like, and everybody has the same story, that he was a really sweet guy. He was a really nice guy. He was a really cool, genuine, respectful guy. Who just had some trouble, like, he had mental health issues. He was never problematic in any way, shape, or form. And you know when people get, their name gets really big, whether they die or they're about to have a big movie come out, or they're about to, I don't know, something really big that's about to happen in somebody's life, somebody goes digging up their old stuff and then they find problematic things. That ain't happened with Mac Miller. But anyway, Nicki Minaj was completely off saying, like, we did the same thing with Mac Miller. Like, no, girl, everybody loved Mac Miller. He was loved by everybody who ever listened to his music. And I wasn't like an avid Mac Miller listener. Like, I listened to his music after I saw him in concert, and I was like, oh, it's cool, but I haven't kept up with him. But I've always liked him. Like, he's the only white male rapper that I care for. Yeah, like, I'm terrified of Eminem. Don't care for Machine Gun Kelly. I mean, I don't even know where he is. That G-Eazy guy, I only know his voice because he's on that song with Cardi B. I can't name any others. Logic is biracial, but he's half white, but don't care about him. Whatever. The point is, she jumps in and starts talking about mental health and everything. And it's kind of like this. I'm sick of things happening and then people jump in and want to jump on the, like, I care about mental health bandwagon, when it's like there's 365 and a quarter days of the year that you can care about mental health and talk out about it, because all of us are dealing with it in some way, shape, or form. You know, some of us have, like, some serious diagnosed things, and some of us are just dealing with, like, you know, sometimes I get depressed, or I'm paranoid about this, or I have anxiety, or every time I try to go out in social situations my stomach hurts. You know, we're all dealing with something, right? Or we all know that this stuff really sucks. We talk about bullying, but we don't really take it seriously. We only talk about it, and we as in pop culture, not we as in, like, commoners or whatever, but we pop culture only people in pop culture talk about the shit only when something really big happens. I mentioned on the show couple episodes ago when Taraji, every time I hear Taraji P. Henson and I think about Jim Henson, and that's just all that's just a side note that didn't matter to any of you, but she started this foundation about mental health in the Black community. You know, Kid Cudi, when he first came out 2 years ago, when he was talking about he wasn't doing well, mental health to talk about then. Somebody else, some Black man, is it Kofi Cerebo or something like that? He was talking about, I want people to take mental health seriously. Jay-Z talked about going to a therapist. Like, this is not a new conversation, and I'm sick of every time something happening, people acting like nobody's talking about it. Like, Nikki, shut up. Shut up. And then Michelle Williams. So, she was in a musical. I don't know which one it is. I can't think off the top of my head. But her therapist asked her to step down from it or to take a break from it because her depression and potentially her anxiety, because they're mostly paired in a lot of people. People have depression and anxiety a lot. I don't know. I'm just whatever. But her depression, for sure, they want her to step back to take care of herself and to, you know, whatever. And nobody's talking about that. So that's what I'm talking about when people just point or jump onto one thing. But not one of these people were like, you know, at Michelle Williams or whatever her Twitter name is or whatever, like, praying for you, girl. I hope things go well. And I'm not saying that that's people's responsibility, but if you're going to jump on Pete Davidson, who it low-key seems like he is manipulating his mental health situation to, like, get back at Ariana Grande, I guess, for her song or for them breaking up or just being a shitty guy. Because, yes, he can have mental health issues, and his suicidal ideation, it can be 100% real. I'm not saying that that's not the case. And that he really doesn't want to be here anymore. But now it's like, after people have run to his rescue, they're saying that Ariana Grande is the reason. She's had a really shitty year personally, and she talked about it whenever, I think it was the Billboard Women. She was like, this has been a really great year for my career, but a really shitty one for herself. And it really has, because she's been blamed for Mac Miller dying. Like, she's been blamed for Pete Davidson potentially dying. She's being blamed, like, the Manchester thing happened. A lot of shit just happened coming that girl's way, and it's just really unfortunate because a lot of it is at the hands of men. And it's not a surprise. Like, Pete Davidson was not that great when they were in the relationship. I wasn't following it, but I see people tweeting about it, how he would, like, talk about how sex was great with her and he wants her to be off birth control or whatever. I don't know. Just, like, being really gross about their relationship, talking about it, and then they break up, and then she comes up with this Thank You Next song, and he's not, like, the key person in the... I don't even know if she says his name in the song, but, like, all her exes were named in the song, and I don't know. It just seems a little off, but everybody thinks they're an expert on mental health issues, and it's really fucking frustrating because it's a really serious thing, and it's not talked about enough in a lot of communities because it's not taken seriously. But yeah, and people are really encouraging people to go to therapy, so that's not really that accessible for everybody. But I mean, it's very serious, and I just wish people wouldn't capitalize off of, like, being seen as a good person when the opportunity presents itself. So, like, yeah, that just really fucking frustrated me. Let's talk about men being manipulative continuously. So Offset is continuing on this manipulative apology tour, where he keeps publicly trying to apologize. I mean, the one video he made, it actually made me laugh because it's like, this is so, like, you're not really sorry for cheating on your wife multiple times. You're not sorry about hurting her feelings. You're not sorry about embarrassing her. You're not sorry about any of it. You're sorry your ass got caught. And then all these other cheating ass men like T.I. and Kirk and some other cheater are like, yeah, take him back. And it's like, what? No. T.I. was about to fight Floyd Mayweather because his wife took a picture with him. You wouldn't have took Tiny back had she, like, notoriously cheated on you. Kirk, you wouldn't take Rashida back if she notoriously cheated on you. And Cardi don't have to take back Offset. They haven't even been married that long. I mean, she doesn't have to do anything. It's just really fucking annoying. But he did that video where he posted it on Instagram, and then he goes and interrupts. And there's, like, some conspiracy around how Cardi knew, or, like, her team definitely knew, because her public assistant, whatever the fuck she's called, her position, led him on stage. So it's like, yeah, everybody could have knew, and she probably could have not known. Point is, it's fucking annoying. And the thing is, that gets on my nerves. Everybody's like, she's going to go back to him anyway. She knew about this whole stage thing anyway. It doesn't fucking matter, because there are other people watching, and it's important to talk about these things because other people who are not these celebrities, who are just everyday people like you and me, or maybe you, maybe you're not a regular person. That'd be really cool if somebody who's not, like, a regular person listens to this, because I reached somebody. But anyway, all of you matter, all of you are important, and I really do appreciate all of you listening to this. But anyway, there are people who are watching this stuff, and they see Offset, someone who would be in his situation, the person who cheated or somebody who did wrong in a relationship, going out and, like, doing all these public apologies that on the surface seem really sweet, but also it's like, she was the first woman to headline Rolling Loud Festival. And it was in the middle of her fucking set. It wasn't even at the end, or wasn't even, like, when she was done and he was in the wings. Like, you came to her job. You came to her where she was working in the middle of her shift and interrupted because you want to apologize for some stupid shit you knew you shouldn't have done in a fuck. Oh, my God. It's just so fucking annoying. And everybody's like, oh, that's so sweet. And then it's like, no. And it didn't even say, please take me back, or I'm sorry. It was like, take me back. That's a command. You're like, it's, ugh, whatever. And that shit happened. And then he's going to go on and say, oh, well, since I embarrassed her publicly, I wanted to apologize publicly. Like, shut the fuck up. You only took that because several people tweeted that and you went with that fucking thing. If you maybe just didn't cheat, you wouldn't be here right now. That simple. That fucking simple. Ugh, niggas. I don't know. I put Nick Cannon as wildin'. I forgot what he did. I think he interviewed somebody or something. I don't know. He was talking some... Oh, when he said something was like an example of McCarthyism. And it's just like, y'all he's going to Howard now. I don't know what he's pursuing. I don't know if he's pursuing a bachelor's or a master's or a doctorate, but he's in school right now. And I guess he's just learning about things, and he's just throwing out words. He said, like, the whole Kevin Hart homophobia thing reminded him of McCarthyism. And it's just like, y'all just be talking out y'all ass and don't really be thinking about what y'all thinking and saying about that sentence. It makes sense, but y'all just be talking and don't be thinking about what you're saying, like I just did. But that's how dumb that sounds. Like, y'all just be saying shit and don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. You're just throwing out these words that most people will not know and will have to Google and won't even understand the concept of something like McCarthyism. And shut up. That's it. I have Kodak Black on here. That was another fucking thing. So the main thing about all these pop culture things, and I think about it all the time, because most of the time I'm like, why the fuck do we care about what this person wore or what this person said or what this person did? But it's like, what happens in pop culture are kind of like microcosms of what happens in like the world. So Kodak Black went on the radio, and Ebro, is it him? Whatever. One of these pale people who talk about hip hop brought up his latest case of sexual assault or whatever, and that boy was stunned, utterly gagged. He just stopped, looked like he was frozen in time. I thought the video paused for a second, and then he called it bullshit. He was like, yo, I want y'all to stop talking about this bullshit, like, can we move on? Then Ebro was like, oh, we don't got nothing else to talk about, you can leave now, because he was I guess Ebro was like, don't tell me what to do on my radio show, like, you're a guest and you don't run this, I run this, and I just asked you a simple question. You could have just said, I'd rather not talk about it right now. People in the comments saying Ebro is a snitch and blah, 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 and he has an open case, why would he talk about it? And it's like, people ask people about their open cases all the time, and you can make that decision to not talk about it or not, but you need to grow the fuck up. You did something or are accused of something, and you need to own up to the fact that this is happening right now. Like, you know what? It's really difficult for me to talk about, so I'd rather not talk about it. That's it. That's it. Like, you don't have to catch an attitude automatically. And the fact you catch an attitude says something else. But that was really fucking annoying. And it's like, and it's not even like the what Kodak said. It's like how us regular people responded to that. It was like, man, whatever. Like, he didn't do it, or he's an op and blah, 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 blah. But then something else happened with Hot 97 where there's something with sexual assault. I think it was about the surviving R. Kelly thing. I don't know. It was something that was like rape apologist-esque, where it was like, but y'all don't fuck with sexual assault or whatever. I don't know. It was just hypocritical. But also, Ebro is like one part of Hot 97, not to defend him or anything, but I mean, I really couldn't care less. I don't listen to any of the radio shows, but yeah, I don't listen to any of that. I'll just be on Spotify playing my music. But that was just really fucking frustrating. And it's always disappointing when stuff like sexual assault and domestic violence come up. And it's usually when women are the primarily when women are the victims, that people don't give any fucks. Like, they don't care. There was literally like, so the trailer for the Surviving R. Kelly it's three parts on three consecutive nights on Lifetime. So, you know, it's going to be not dramatics, but it's going to be emotionally exhausting and potentially very triggering. I don't even know if I'm going to watch it. I don't think I'm going to. I don't know. I'll see how I'm feeling. But anyway, the trailer's out on social media and people were watching, or people watched it because it's on fucking Twitter. That's how I saw it. God, dummy. Just think before you speak. But the people replying to a tweet where the video was posted, and somebody was like, you know, I have a daughter and this is really awful. It was a man. I have a daughter, a black man, so I'm assuming his daughter's black. I have a daughter and this is really awful, and I'd be devastated this happened to my daughter, but R. Kelly has really great music, so something, something, something. And it's kind of just like, y'all really are excusing like life altering and traumatic harm and abuse for 3 minutes and 45 seconds of music, or like 2 hours of an album. It's just so awful. It's so awful. It wasn't an argument at all. On Twitter, I put, because everybody's calling R. Kelly the king of R&B, and I was like, I would give that to Babyface before I give it to R. Kelly. And I said, y'all are really overpassing Babyface for a pedophile. And somebody going to tweet me and be like, Babyface doesn't have as many hits as R. Kelly and isn't, like, in the same... Something around, like, I'm definitely paraphrasing, but, like, not in the same arena as R. Kelly. And I'm like, the fuck? It's just, whatever. I just can't. But people really go up for abusers so much. And it's like, this is why people don't report. And it's just really fucking annoying. And I, as much as I hope that people's eyes would open up from seeing this documentary, people laugh at people's trauma all the time. And people will worship trash. And I think that this won't do much. I think it'll open some people who may have been on the fence or people who don't know anything. Because the latest rumor, or not rumor, but the latest accusation is that R. Kelly got his, like, 14-year-old cousin pregnant. And that, like, recently. But yeah, there's that. And speaking of the King of R&B and stuff, Jacquees is fucking bugging. Because he called himself the King of R&B. And people are like, yeah, he knows what he's doing. This is a ploy. And I was like, I don't think that's what this is. I think this boy really thinks that he can sing and really thinks that he's the King of R&B. And the thing is, I can't give you not one name of one of his songs. I do know he's like a karaoke kind of singer where he sings everybody else's songs and does covers and music videos and everything. But, yeah. And then he came at Keith Sweat and was like, yeah, no, I'm the king. And then Keith Sweat had to put him in his place. I don't know. It's just, whatever. I don't even have much to say about that. Speaking of R&B, I guess I'll say, we're getting more nostalgia. We're getting a Millennium Tour with B2K, Chingy. I don't remember anybody else. I don't remember anybody else that's on this tour. Everybody's really excited about the B2K piece. Matter of fact, let me look it up. But everybody is really excited about it. But yeah, all four members of B2K are going to be there on tour. Chingy's going to be there. I'm pulling it up now. Oh my God. Pretty Ricky, Lloyd, Mario, Bobby Valentino, and the Ying Yang Twins. Which the Ying Yang Twins, I feel like, is such an odd addition. I mean, it's going to be a little ass tour. I am probably not going because I was not, like, a mega super huge fan of, like, those people. I don't even know if I know all the words to, like, one B2K song. But that's fucking awesome that they're doing that. And then JoJo, she re-recorded, like, all of her music because I think a couple years ago she got all the masters to all her music. And, I think she's out of that recording contract that, like, had her really stifled. And so she re-released it on all streaming, platforms and everybody's losing their goddamn mind. So the early 2000s are back, people. Next year's not 2019. It is 1999. It's going to be 1999. That's just what I'm going to claim it. And, yeah. Stupid stuff with our government. GoFundMe. There is a GoFundMe to, fund the wall that will not work for, border control. And they raised, like, over, like, millions of dollars so far within, like, 4 or 5 days. And people are really upset about it that are not for the wall and not, like, awful and bigoted. And they're like, it took them 4 days to raise this much money, but they're like, Flint needs clean water and Puerto Rico needs help, New Orleans still needs help, we got public schools that need help and all these things. And it's like, yes, absolutely, but these people don't give any fucks. And I mean, duh, they're not saying that, but it's like, it's really frustrating that people are hoarding, like, have this money. Like, somebody donated like $5,000. People have all this money and they put, the thing is, I think over and over again that people are never not gagged at how much people are bigoted and hateful and love to be so and will make it so that their bigotry and hatred continues to flourish in this country and nationally. But also another article says that the money that they're raising probably can't even be funded for the wall because something about when the government receives donations, it has to just be, like, in a general pot or something like that and not, like, towards specific projects or something. Also, this is dumb because first Trump said that Mexico was going to pay for the wall. And they were like, fuck out of here. No, we're not. And then they were saying, like, now we have to, I don't know. taxes were going to pay for the wall or something. The thing is, the wall is not going to work. It's a wall. People, there's this show called Adam Ruins Everything on Netflix, and I don't really watch it, but some people I know, they recommended that I watch something, and I watched the immigration episode. And I mean, it's common sense, but like, there's also airplanes. Airplane, like, that wall is not going to stop an airplane. And most people come into the country on airplanes. Nobody is like literally walking. There are people who are on foot for sure, absolutely. But the number of people that are on foot and the number of people who are on planes is like not even close. It's just a dumb idea. It's just a really dumb idea. And there's already like a border and a fence. So a brick wall is not going to make a difference. It's really, I don't know. And then Trump is shutting down the government because of this stupid wall. I believe so. And it's really whack because people who work in the government who like, White House makes counteroffer, asks for less than $5 billion for border wall funding. So yeah, the government is shut down because of this goddamn wall. And it's absolutely ridiculous. It's just, this year was a fucking shit show. And it's fucking mind-boggling how ridiculous things have gotten. More ridiculous things. There's a video of Chris Rock with Jerry Seinfeld, Louis C.K., and somebody else. People I don't listen to. Like, Chris Rock, I do pay attention to, like, his kids' stuff. Like, Madagascar is the first thing that pops in my head. I Think I Love My Wife is another one that pops in my head. Whatever. Anyway, I don't... With comedians, I don't watch stand-up. It's not really my... the genre of... whatever. I don't watch stand-up. But anyway, Chris Rock, it's an interview, and I think it's from a couple years ago. Or not an interview, but they're all sitting around, you know, being guys, sitting on the couch, talking. And they're talking about, like, using the N-word. And Louis C.K., I mean, I've heard really awful things about him. I think he also has some sexual assault charges against him. I don't know if recently or if he's settled on some things, but I just look at... When I see him, I'm just like, I would not want to be around that man. I don't want to be associated with that man or anything, but... He comfortably says the word nigger, and he says that him and Chris Rock, they use it in private, and they, like, whatever. And whoever the other white guy in the room was that wasn't Jerry Seinfeld also, like, was like, yeah, me too. And then Jerry Seinfeld, apparently, after Louis C.K. said nigger the first time, I didn't watch the rest of the video, but apparently Jerry was like, yeah, no, I don't use that. I don't want to, and I don't find, like, fun in using that. I don't find it funny. I don't want to use it. And people are like praising Seinfeld, Jerry. I mean, because he has a social media. People are praising him for not doing it. And it's like, that's like praising a fish for swimming. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. But it's really, the bar is so low because so much fuckery has gone on this year that we're just hoping for somebody to just do the decent thing, or we're grateful or surprised when people are doing the correct thing, like what is expected of people, not even going above and beyond. Because what would have gone above and beyond is if Jerry went off on them and did this and that and talked about how this word is awful and left and denounced his, I don't know, but put action behind, like, no, this isn't cool. But even so, it's kind of like, yeah, you should do that. But that video came up, and people, and there's this another conversation about how, like, the Kevin Hart homophobia thing came up, and how people were saying, oh, we're so sensitive. And it's like, where are the people that were saying we're sensitive? Where's D.L. Hughley? Is he going to say something? Like, where y'all at that were so out and adamant about how we're too sensitive about comedy and how there are no limits with comedy and all that stuff? And I just, my personal, like, there's comedy, and then there's things that I find funny and humorous. Like, comedy, I don't know, like, my relationship with it, or how I view it, it's just like, it's always kind of made me uneasy because I know that there's some really vulgar, offensive, awful things that are said in comedy. So I just don't even venture to it. I don't go to stand up. I don't go to open mics or whatever. But yeah, so that happened and that came up. So that's, you're probably reading about that on Twitter now. Another thing that popped up. So the Super Bowl's happening, and I looked in my old notes to see what I had talked about on something, and Travis Scott was supposed to be on the bill for Super Bowl performances with Cardi B and Maroon 5. Cardi B pulled out because she said, I'm standing with Kaepernick. Travis Scott is apparently going to still do it. And then people looked into some things, like an interview he did in 2014, where he basically said Michael Brown shouldn't have been doing stupid shit and he wouldn't have got shot. He said, I'm not saying that he deserved to die, but don't do stupid shit and you won't get in trouble. And it's kind of like, that's not what happened here. And it's just, and then people are like, look who we laid down with and had a baby with and all stuff. It's kind of like, yes and, oh, who was yelling? Yes and no. But it's like, oh my God, people are yelling outside. Yes and no, but it's also no. Like, that's not the case. Like, the thing is when other people, whatever. I don't think I have to explain it, but I will. When people who are not Black commit crimes, even, and it's also questionable whether Michael Brown did commit a crime. He could have definitely stole that pack of Black Amals, right? Let's say he did. When people who are not Black commit crimes, people who are not dark-skinned, let's take it there, because there are dark-skinned non-Black people who are seen as Black or treated awfully, whatever. People who are not dark-skinned are not Black people and don't come across as that. When they commit crimes, they are not usually shot, not usually beat up, not usually, like, tasered or anything. They're just kind of like, hey, come here. I mean, there's physical altercation when they run and they have to like get them and what if somebody's fighting back, but rarely do non-Black people who are not dark-skinned get that same kind of like treatment. So Travis Scott, shut the fuck up. But also, like, then people were bringing up how he was raised and how he was raised in the suburbs and how his real name is Jacquees, I think. I don't know, people bringing up all that kind of stuff. And I'm tired. People just get really disappointed about some stuff. And it's kind of like, I'm just never surprised by any of this. I'm usually surprised when people are on the right side of things or make sense or are intelligent or knowledgeable or have a lot of information about some stuff. But yeah, this ain't going to damage him at all. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The last thing that I have in my notes, it's related to Travis Scott very loosely. Khloe Kardashian, her latest... You know what? I don't care. All I was going to say is that she looks sickly in her latest picture where she clearly got more plastic surgery. Her nose looks way slimmer. She's way skinnier. And it's just really wild to see people's bodies transform like that with plastic surgery. And I don't think there's anything wrong with plastic surgery at all. But when you start to look like you're literally getting like everything in your body sucked out of you and everything is just like it's just concerning, also because she was a thicker girl before, and I absolutely understand, like, people used to make fun of her the way she looked and she didn't look like the rest of her sisters and all this stuff. I absolutely understand that, and I understand that there could have been some low self-esteem issues or just like self-image issues or whatever, but it's like when is the time for people to step in and be like, girl, you look good, like, you're beautiful and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. Like, when is it? I don't know. Two things. Good things. I want to end on good notes. So, one, Patricia, he was going to be Rage of the Week, but I wanted something else to be Rage of the Week. So, Patricio Manuel became the first openly trans boxer to compete at the professional level in his fight against Mexican super featherweight. I don't know nothing about boxing. Hugo Aguilar at Fantasy Springs Casino. Yeah. And he won. So he's the first trans boxer to compete at the professional level, and he fucking won. So I thought that was pretty lit, and I just wanted to say that. And then there was something else that was really cool. It's called The Real Catwalk, and it was sort of in response to Victoria's Secret's casting of their annual fashion show. And it was called The Real Catwalk, where women of all kinds of body shapes and sizes and women with disabilities and different ethnicities, and it was a really diverse group of women who walked in Times Square, like not a real catwalk, like it wasn't a put together fashion show where it was like fashion week kind of thing, but they walked and they were in their bras and underwear, I don't know, but they were wearing it and they were walking. I thought that was really cool, so you can look that up if you want to see more of it, The Real Catwalk. But I just wanted to end on a cool good note because it was a lot of fuckery within all the rage. But that's all I got. Tweet me about like your thoughts about some things or whatever. And that's gonna wrap up all the rage. Let's move on to the next segment. All right, so it's time for Rage of the Week, which is when I highlight a person, place, or thing, going back to elementary school, talking about nouns, but that I think deserves a spotlight or that people should know about. So this episode's Rager of the Week is Bennett College. They are a women's HBCU, so a black women's college that started in 1873. And they are at risk of losing their accreditation and potentially closing. So they are having a huge fundraising situation where they are asking like the people to help them out and to keep the school, you know, in a world where people discredit HBCUs or people don't even really know about them or people don't really have access to them. And like, this is a black women's college, you know, and I didn't even know this existed. Everybody knows about Spelman. I don't know about the others. But whatever. They are in need of $5 million by February 1st, 2019. I'm on their website now. If you just look up Stand With Bennett, spelled B-E-N-N-E-T-T, you'll go on Google and it'll take you to the page. Their page, it says Stand With Bennett, 50 days. Friends, we have 50 days right now. It's 40 days, actually, to raise funds to help Bennett College maintain its accreditation with SACSCOC. I'm assuming that's like some board that gives schools accreditations. Their target date is February 1st for accomplishing the goal. Over the past 2 years, Bennett has made significant gains in addressing our financial stability. Some of the significant strides made to achieve sustainability include they have a generated surplus of $461,038, if that's how you say that number. God, I sound stupid. Bennett was approved for a capital loan deferment over a six-year period with a financial benefit of nearly $9 million. And a bunch of other things. The average GPA of new fresh women increased from 2.8 to 3.2 from 2017 to 2018. Their retention rate went up significantly from 44% to 53%. Their enrollment has been trending upward for 2 years, 409 to 471 within a year. And they've been steadily increasing. But despite all of those accomplishments, that the SACSCOC felt that they fell short. They're appealing their decision to like say that they're like not didn't do it. And they're working hard to demonstrate that they're fiscally stable. But they have to raise additional money to reduce their debt and improve their cash position. So when you the hashtag is Stand With Bennett, it says you're preserving a legacy and excellence of black women in the U.S. Since 1873, Bennett College has created a place for black women's voices and brilliance to be developed and cultivated. So you can donate by mail. You can donate online. I think they have t-shirts that you can buy. Yeah, I don't know. I just really wanted to bring it up because it's like any way that I could potentially help, because I donated as well and I'll donate again when I get paid. But to donate to help them out, because it's like this is a really special thing that exists that should be helped and saved, and I don't see enough people talking about it. So I definitely wanted to make them Rager of the Week for the 20 something people that would listen to this episode to potentially hear it. You know, this holiday season is it's the season of giving. You can donate anything, and I'm pretty sure anything helps. I'm sure they would rather like really big donations, because they have 40 days to raise this money, and right now they're at 23% of their goal, so a little bit past $1 million, maybe. I don't know. It's a graph, and I can't. I don't know what 23% of 5 million is. Actually, I could probably do the math, but I don't want to. Point is, they're at 23%, and they need the help, and I think we need to help them out. So if you have extra funds between now and February 1st, it'd be really great to donate and help them out. But yeah, and I said I think they have a shirt that's a Stand With Bennett, so you can purchase a shirt. It's a custom ink shirt. Takes you to that website. And it's $25 for a shirt. And they sold 331 shirts. So they're trying in multiple ways to raise the money. You know, it's just, I don't have anything else to say. But Bennett College is an institution of higher education that provides opportunities for black women to, you know, be phenomenal and great. So donate. Again, to look it up, Google Stand With Bennett, two N's and two T's, to help them to be accredited and to stay in existence for Black women in the world. So that's it for Rage of the Week. Let's move on to the next segment. All right, so my rage rant is probably going to be real short because I don't have much to say about it. But I'm annoyed with time. You know, it just, I constantly say, like, time doesn't seem to be a very real thing. This year went by so freaking fast. So many things have happened this year that we already forgot about because things are just, time is fleeting. And I don't even know, they say when the older you get, the more, the faster time passes. And I don't think like the dynamics of time and quantum physics and all stuff is like changing it with your age. I just think we're looking at time more, because I was thinking about it before I started recording, that like I look at a clock way more than I did when I was a child. I don't remember having to keep time. In high school I did, because like I had to be from here to there, I had to be at this thing at a certain time, I had to be at this practice at a certain time or whatever. But other than that, like, I didn't really have to keep time because my parents kept time for me. Like, you know, just be out at the bus at this certain time, but your parents wake you up, and then you get to the bus stop, and then you go to school, and then the school day is over. They let you know when class is over, when the bell rings. Like, I didn't really look at time. But the older you get, the more you're looking at time. You know, I have this doctor's appointment and I have to get there on my own. The store closes at this time. I got to get there at this time, you know? So we're looking at like time because we're being conscious of it, and we're running on time's time. You know, looking at calendars, looking at dates, you're setting dates on things and all that stuff. And before, as a child, you weren't really looking at it. So I think that's what is how time moves so fast. But it doesn't make it any less frustrating or confusing or like mind-boggling. Like, it's about to be 2019. It was just 2000. I just started this podcast. Like, I feel like I just started it. I feel like I don't have that many episodes, but, and I don't have like 100 or anything, but like, I just started it and I'm halfway through and the year's over. It's just really wild to me. You know, your birthdays are coming quicker. You're meeting, like, it's just like Christmas is in like 2 days. And I saw the tweet, somebody was like, Christmas feels more like a deadline than like a holiday, because it's like, I gotta make sure I get all this shit together before Christmas. Like, time is just really on my fucking nerves, and I want it to stop just for a little bit or slow down a little bit, because I'm just getting older and life has just passed me by. I feel like I'm missing on opportunities, and I just really want to cherish the moment. But also, like, with work and life and all this kind of shit, like, I get exhausted and I just want to sit. Like, there's not enough time for me to sit and like recuperate and regroup and to re-energize and also have a social life, because that shit is tiring too. So it's just like, I don't know, maybe I haven't figured it out yet. And then I also want to get a therapist, and that also takes up time, and then that gives me anxiety because then I'm losing more time. It's just like, time is really on my fucking nerves, and I just want it to stop, and I want it to slow down, and I just want more time. And I'm also just trying to figure it out, but I'm young and I guess I'm just whatever, but like, time is just on my nerves. Like, Father Time, get it together. Like, just slow down just a little bit, you know? Like, just planning for things way ahead of time. Like, my birthday is not until the spring, but I'm planning for it now, and it's just really weird because I have never planned that early for my birthday before. I never really do anything really big for my birthday, but like, I want to capitalize on things. And a lot of people are like, girl, you need to take time off and you need to take a vacation and all stuff. And I'm like, with what money and with what time am I taking this vacation? Because when I have the money, I don't have the time. When I have the time, I don't have the money. So it's just like becoming an adult and like having to budget correctly and appropriately for like way stuff way far in the future and all that kind of shit. It's just kind of like trying to, you know, get that together. So I'm just sick of time. And I'm trying, and maybe I'm just not really sick of it. I'm just frustrated with it because I haven't managed it yet. I don't have good time management, and I think I do. It's just like in for like necessary responsibilities, I definitely do have good time management with like, but my social life, like, do not have good time management, and I don't have a balance of that, and it's just exhausting. So, I mean, again, the rage rants don't ever have a conclusion or anything. It's just me ranting about whatever the fuck I want to, and time is just really on my nerves. And that is the rage rant. All right, people, here's some shit. if you didn't finish your New Year's resolution or whatever from last year or 2018's resolutions, it's fine. It's okay. If you didn't accomplish all your goals for the year, it's fine. It's okay. You know, just set them again for next year. Or maybe they're not something that you want to do anymore. Don't feel guilty about it. Like, it is what it is what it is. Don't beat yourself up about it. You know, I've been thinking about what I want to do for the new year or what my New Year's resolutions are. I think I accomplished one of the four that I had. Maybe I was being too ambitious or overachieving or whatever. And the one that I did accomplish, I don't even remember what it was, but I remember when I did it, I was like, yeah, great. So, but I'm just moving the ones that I wanted to accomplish for this year, and I'm moving them to next year, you know? And it's not even that, I mean, in the rage rant, I talked about time. I just didn't have the time to be able to really put in to make them happen. So pushing to next year and just being more intentional about it next year, now that I've had this year happen. But if it didn't happen this year, it's fine. You know what I'm saying? It's fine. It's not the end of the world that we know of. But it's not the end of the world because you didn't accomplish what you accomplished. It will probably be the end of the world because our president in the United States said something stupid that set somebody off, that like set off all the nuclear bombs all over the world, and then the world implodes on itself. I don't know. But you not accomplishing all of your New Year's resolutions, or you not losing that weight, or you not gaining that weight, or you not getting that car, or you not buying a house, or you not getting that job, or you not graduating on time, or you not, or you going into the New Year single, or you going into the New Year in the same relationship that you don't want to be in, or anything that you felt like you wanted to accomplish or you didn't accomplish, it's fine. And it's better said than done, or easier said than done, but it's fine. Don't beat yourself up. It's okay. It'll be okay. There's more time, as I just complained about time, but there's more time, and there's more opportunities to be able to do what you want to do, and maybe analyze it and see if it is still something you want to accomplish, or if there's a different way to accomplish it. Maybe you tried and didn't succeed. That's also okay too. But all I wanted to, the shit I wanted to give you was that it is fine if you didn't complete your tasks or your resolutions or your goals. It's fine. Just try again, like the late great Aaliyah said. All right, y'all. So I not only have one, but I have two sponsors, and it's fucking sickening, like amazing. So one of my sponsors is Malcolm Gladwell's Broken Record Podcast. You heard the advertising before, but just recognizing that they are one of my sponsors. Another sponsor is Anchor, the actual app that I use to record this podcast through. And they have this new feature which connects you to sponsors. So the only reason I have sponsors is because of the app that I use to record this podcast. It's kind of a Inception kind of thing, maybe, possibly. I don't know. Or Meta, maybe. I don't know, but it's really cool. But that is one way that I have been supported through for the show. Other ways that people can support the show, by just simply listening. That's really awesome and really great and really appreciated, as I do, as I say every episode. Other ways to support the show: you can share the show, tweet about the show, talk about it with your friends, word of mouth, or whoever. Another way to support the show individually is monetarily. I have a Patreon account, Raging Black Girl, the podcast, and also an opportunity to donate or to pledge money through the Anchor app. So there are the many ways that you can support the show. Thank you again to Anchor and Broken Record Podcast for being sponsors of the show. If you, your organization, corporation, group, etc., want to sponsor the show or an episode, send an email to ragingblackgirl@gmail.com. Thanks for your support thus far, and thank you for your future support. So that wraps up another episode of Raging Black Girl, the podcast. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening. If you are a continued listener or this is your first listen, thanks. Listen. Wow, did I just pronounce the T that hard and listen? But thanks so much for listening. I am really grateful for you listening to the show and whatnot. I also want to thank my two sponsors, Anchor and Malcolm Gladwell's Broken Record Podcast. Thank you so much for sponsoring the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you to Anchor for creating opportunities for shows to be able to be sponsored and to find sponsors, connect with sponsors. It's really awesome. So this is the last episode before the year 2019, and I just want to tell everybody, I hope that your New Year's Eve, and if you celebrate Christmas, if you celebrate Kwanzaa, whatever other holidays are happening at this time, I hope that you enjoy the holidays, and I hope you're safe during these holidays. Please use Lyft, Uber, or whatever ride sharing apps that you utilize. If you don't have an account with them, get it now before you're out at 2 a.m. drunk as hell and don't know where your friends are because they left for that booty call, or you don't know where you parked your car, or the trains aren't running, or none of the taxis are picking you up because they're mad racist. You can use Lyft or Uber or another ride-sharing app. I don't know of the others. But please use them. Please be safe. Please do not drive drunk or high or under any other influences. Please, please, please do not do it. I want people to get home safely. So I hope that your celebrations are joyous and fun and exciting, and you're surrounded by people who love you and appreciate you and affirm you and think the world of you. So you won't hear from me until next year. I just want to say happy holidays and a happy new year.